Hello, and welcome to another edition of the LinuxQuestions.org podcast. First up, LQ updates. We're still testing the new equipment that we recently purchased, and as always, we are looking for feedback on the audio quality. Made some final adjustments based on advice that I got from Doug from IT Conversations, so hopefully the tweaking should be almost done. Thanks again, Doug. I unfortunately wasn't able to pull off an LQ radio episode before I left for GnomeDex like I'd hoped to, but you can expect one soon. I would say definitely within the next 7 days, hopefully a little bit less. Thanks for the patience on that. On the topic of GnomeDex, I have to say that Chris put together an absolutely fantastic show. The vibe, both during the conference and unlike most conferences, this kind of has a lot of networking events too, and the vibe there was great. I met a ton of just really smart, really motivated people, and definitely look forward to attending every GnomeDex I can from now on. And I have to say, if you're anywhere in the area or able to attend a future GnomeDex, I highly recommend it. From some of the talks that I had there, there's some great stuff coming down the pipeline, and unfortunately I can't talk about all of it, but you can expect some very cool things from a couple of different companies very soon. Next story, due to some hardware issues that we had, the LQ Wiki recently experienced some downtime. Things have stabilized now, and the drive to 3,000 articles can continue. I was down just about 24 hours, and I do apologize for that. If you haven't participated before, you can visit Wiki, that's W-I-K-I, linuxquestions.org, and joining is easy, quick, yeah, you don't really need anything but a username, and adding your knowledge really couldn't be easier. Just pretty much click the edit button, or if there isn't an article, create a new title and go from there. And you can help us build the largest general Linux knowledge base on the web, so do check that out. In a recent blog post entitled Web 2.0 Social Search, I alluded to the fact that LQ was working on something that had similar functionality to the linked article blog post from Jeremy Zawadny, who works at Yahoo. While we're not quite done with this, I would like to give the listeners of this podcast an early sneak peek in what we have coming. This is the very first time we're telling anyone about this release, so you guys get to test it first. You can visit bookmarks.linuxquestions.org to see what we have so far. Please do be aware that this is beta, if not maybe even alpha, and not everything is quite ready for prime time yet. All the base functionality is there though, and you should feel free to use it, add bookmarks, and give us your feedback. There is still plenty of time to make changes, so we definitely want your feedback. So what's the site all about? It's kind of along the same lines as Delicious or Delirious. It allows you to not only share, tag, and annotate the sites you visit, but to see what else everyone is sharing, tagging, and annotating. And unlike some of the more general purpose sites, this is kind of going to be a random stream of consciousness or an instant snapshot into what the Linux and open source community is visiting and looking at and what they're into. So it should have some pretty powerful functionality built in the more people that use it. So like I said, check it out. Do give us your feedback, and your feedback will make the site better, so let us know what you think. Thanks. Now on to the news. I'm only going to cover a few news stories this time, as LQ Studio A, aka my office, is about 100 degrees, and I don't know how long I'll be able to tolerate all the fans and everything being off. The first story was an interesting interview with Linus that was featured in Good Morning Silicon Valley. The interview is mostly about what Linus thinks of Microsoft, and not only Microsoft, but the future of proprietary software models. As always, Linus brings up some good points. And unlike what I see a lot of people say, Microsoft's not going anywhere anytime soon, nor will they even be irrelevant anytime soon. They have too much market share, are willing to do almost anything to keep that market share, and just as importantly, really understand the markets that they're in and how to exploit their dominance in those markets. And that's not to mention the ton of cash that they have also. Linus also goes on to say that he doesn't see proprietary vendors going away at all, but he does see them moving up the stack as the lower parts of the stack start to commoditize. Here's a quote from the article. I do not believe that anything can, quote-unquote, replace Microsoft in the market that MS is in right now. Instead, what I think happens is that markets mature, and as they mature, become commoditized. The kind of dominant player like Microsoft just doesn't happen anymore. You don't have another dominant player coming in and taking its place. To find a new dominant player, you actually have to start looking at a totally different market altogether. So there's a couple other interesting tidbits in the article, and you can get the interview link on my blog. And once again, that was in Good Morning Silicon Valley. The next story, I'm sure most of you have already heard the Grokster decision that was recently passed down. While I was kind of disappointed at first as I started reading the news stories, upon further inspection, it might not be quite as bad as some of those original stories made it out to be. While it still is disappointing, I think it could have been worse. Now, basically, the crux of it is, one who distributes a device with the object of promoting its use to infringe copyright, as shown by clear expression or other affirmative steps taken to foster infringement, is liable for resulting acts of infringement by third parties. So the problem here is going to be that in the litigious society we live in, people are going to do everything in their power to say that some very legitimate apps, such as BitTorrent, are being promoted in this way. So the key part here isn't that they are technically able to do it, it's that they are explicitly being promoted to do it. I haven't seen Bram Cohen publicly comment on whether he was worried about this, but I did see a link off of Scripting News that in the past, Bram has said that he does promote the use of it for illegal purposes. So when I originally made the blog post, I did not realize that. So you should check out that link, which I've updated the post on that. I can say for our part that at Linux Questions, we use BitTorrent for 100% legitimate purposes and only legitimate and legal purposes. And what that's for is distributing content for LQ Radio. And it definitely saves us a considerable amount of bandwidth. So I have to thank Bram for that one. And I think a lot of sites and podcasting sites especially are going to use BitTorrent for only legitimate purposes. So it's important that just because an app's capable of it doesn't mean that anyone should be targeted for litigation regardless of what they promote, in my opinion. But obviously the Supreme Court disagrees with me there. It was also great to read, also on Scripting News, that podcasts were actually used as an example of legitimate non-infringing use for P2P apps in the case. So at least we're making some inroads there. One problem I see from this ruling is that companies, especially large companies, always err on the side of caution when it comes to potential litigation. This means that this case will almost definitely have a negative impact on innovation, which is a shame. On the blog, I linked to a couple of people's opinions on this, notably Scoble and Doc Searles, and they had some interesting things to say too. And Mark Cuban also pointed out that there was almost no response from Wall Street on this news, which would seem to indicate that they don't think illegal P2P downloads are having an impact on the bottom lines of major media companies. Specifically, he points out the Warner Media Group. And I couldn't agree more, and all the numbers I've seen from various sources in the recent past definitely seem to support this. I think Mark sums it up extremely well when he says, the MGM Grokster decision won't help the content business make more money. It won't help artists make more money. The deal gave something to both sides, but it gave the most to lawyers and lobbyists. And lawyers and lobbyists are definitely a group that does not need more of anything. The last story I have is basically just a comment that I had on a post that Doc had made over at his site. Even though, and the name of his post was Google is a Windows company, even though Google probably has the largest Linux backend in the world, they are, in his opinion, a Windows company. Despite the benefits that Linux gives them, not a single one of their apps, which is desktop search, the toolbar, Picasa, and now Google Earth, run on a non-Windows platform. One of the ironic parts here is that Microsoft is one of their biggest competitors. Now, of course, we all know that Windows has the vast majority of desktop machines, and the numbers I see vary for Linux desktops and Mac desktops, but I've never seen Windows under 90%, so it's surely a huge majority. But it's Google's Linux infrastructure that allows them to offer these apps in the first place, and generate the kind of revenue that they generate. So I'd really like to see them commit to running at least some of their apps on Linux and Mac, ideally. And a quote from Doc is, "Yes, I know that it only makes sense to make client software for the platform with 9 out of the 10 slices in the market's pie, but it's that 10th slice that keeps the company making the other 9 from enjoying a monopoly. At fighting Microsoft's client monopoly, Google isn't helping much. Quite the contrary, in fact." I kind of wondered what Chris DeBona, who works at Google, had to say about this, and having met Chris a couple of times in the past, I decided to not wonder and to shoot him an email. He hasn't responded to me yet, but if he does, I will make sure to not only update my blog, but I'll also mention it in the next podcast to keep you guys informed. So that's all I have for now, but thanks for listening. And remember, if you like the LQ podcast, please head over to podcastalley.com and vote for us. Thanks.